So 2 weeks ago, we stopped at Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 to 20, and we saw how Abram's lie got him into trouble in Egypt, but we saw how the Lord divinely intervened and rescued Abram and Sarai from the situation, and in turn blessed Abram with many material blessings. And now we turn to Genesis 13, Genesis 13, and we'll be considering the whole chapter this morning. Genesis 13. And this is the word of the Lord. Then Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, to the south. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called upon the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in that land. So Abram said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are kinsmen, we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. And if you go to the right, then I will go to the left." And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go toward Soar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tents even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, "Lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and to your descendants forever. And I will make you your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you." Then Abram moved his tent and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and built an altar there to the Lord. This is the word of God. So brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, how many decisions and choices do you make every single day? We know that some of the choices that we make every day can lead us better, like making a good financial investment or choosing a godly, Christ-loving spouse. But some of the choices can also lead us bitter, like marrying an unbeliever, which can lead to a lifelong spiritual and family struggle. Or we know that some of the decisions we make when it comes to friendship can lead us helpful in times of need. But some can also lead us hurtful when we make the wrong choice in mingling ourselves with the wrong crowd. The reality is that life is made up of a lot of choices. But the question is, how do we make our choices and decisions? What is the basis on which we make our choices and decisions? Have you ever thought about that? And when it comes to choices, it is quite relevant for our text in front of us today. It is because it draws the contrast between two men and how they made their choices when they had a chance. And these two men are, of course, Abram and Lot. And up to this point in our series, they have traveled together a long way. They have been traveling together since Ur of the Chaldeans. Remember chapter 11, verse 27. God called Abram out of the land of Ur and Haran. And from there, from Ur of the Chaldeans, they went to Haran together. And from there, they went to Canaan. And it is also likely that they went down to Egypt together, as we saw 2 weeks ago. And here in this text, we see that from Egypt, they together returned to Canaan, where both of them faced a choice of their life. So what truths can we glean from the choices of these two men in front of us today? And this is what we'll be considering today, and we will consider this text in three different sections. First of all, Abram's offer from verses 1 to 9. Second, Lot's choice from verses 10 to 13. And third, the Lord reaffirms Abram from verses 14 to 18. And if you can keep your Bibles open, we'll be considering the text closely together, so I would invite you to have your Bibles open as we consider God's word together. And our goal of the sermon is that you may learn to walk this pilgrimage journey by holding fast the promise of God through faith and devoting yourself to a life of constant worship. So we come now to our first point, Abram's offer. So here in chapter 13, Moses begins the chapter by telling us that Abram left the land of Egypt with all that he had, including the wealth that he gained there in Egypt. But notice here that Moses tells us in 5 verses where Abram was going. And notice in verses 3 to 4, let me read it to you again. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel, to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there, Abram called upon the name of the Lord. What is going on here? What is Moses trying to tell us? If you notice carefully, you will see that Moses is telling us that Abram was systematically retracing his steps and reversing his tracks. From Egypt, Abram went to the south, where Abram made the bad decision to go down to Egypt. Then from there, from the south, he went back to Bethel and called upon the name of the Lord. And where was Bethel? Bethel was the place where he started all of it. It was where the Lord called him and where he built an altar to the Lord after the Lord made those rich promises to him in chapter 12. So what was Abram doing here? Why was he retracing his steps? Remember what happened 2 weeks ago? Remember last time we looked at how he failed to trust the Lord and he abandoned the promises and went to Egypt? Here, having recognized that he was wrong in what he did in Egypt, he was dealing with his failures. He went back to square one. He went back to the place where the Lord brought him to and where he dedicated himself in the first place, and he worshiped the Lord in the beginning. And here at Bethel, after all that had happened in chapter 12, he came back to this place, Bethel, and he called upon the name of the Lord. What was Abram doing here? This was an act of rededication. Abram was rededicating himself to the Lord. It was as if Abram was turning from his failures and turning from his sins and turning back to the Lord. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, this is a small lesson for us. What Abram was doing here shows us how we should respond to our failures in our Christian walk. You know, every single day, and there are times when we trust in ourselves instead of trusting in God. We do not love one another as we are called. But the question is, does failure drive you away from the Lord? Or does it drive you back to square one like Abram was doing here? Does it drive you back to where you started so that you can ask the Lord for forgiveness and worship the Lord again for his grace? Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, as Christians in Christ, as believers in Christ, we can always know that God has forgiven us in Christ because he loves us. So when we fail, we can always turn from our failures and go back to the throne of grace, ask for forgiveness, and worship him, just as Abram was doing here. And then what happened after Abram worshiped the Lord here? Moses tells us that Abram encountered a great problem. Look at verses 5 to 7. Moses tells us that the land could not support both of them dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together, and there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. This is interesting, isn't it? Because last chapter, in chapter 12, we saw We just saw Abram left the promised land because of a great famine. He encountered a famine in that land, and he could not find any food, so he decided to leave. In chapter 12, he was a poor man. He was encountering a problem of poverty. But the interesting thing is that this time, he was having too much that his wealth gave him troubles. How interesting it is that God works in his providence. There are times when we struggle with poverty and weaknesses, and this time, and Abram was struggling with great wealth, and his wealth was bringing him troubles. And how did Abram respond to the strife? How did he respond to the current situation in front of him? Let's look at verses 8 to 9. Then Abram said to Lot, "Let there be no strife between you and me, and between your herdsmen and my herdsmen, for we are kinsmen, we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Separate from yourself from me. If you take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if you take the right hand, then I will go to the left." Notice a couple of things here. First of all, look at how Abram addressed Lot. He called him a brethren, a kinsman, meaning a brother. And if you remember, what was the relationship between, what was the biological relationship between Abram and Lot? Abram was the uncle of Lot. And as an uncle, he was humbling himself before the Lord and before Lot and strived to keep the peace by showing humility. And by calling Lot a brethren, a kinsman, he was showing great humility here. And more than that, as the elder and leader of the clan, Abram had every right to choose where he wanted to live. But look at how he dealt with the problem here. He deferred the opportunity to choose first and allowed Lot to choose. Can you see what was going on here? How Abram was responding generously? There was strife between them, and he responded to the strife with a generous action. And can you really see that Abram had really been changed? What a contrast we saw from the Abram from 2 weeks ago. There, in Canaan, he could not trust the Lord last time, and he decided to respond to the situation with his own scheme. And this time, he chose to respond with generosity and grace for the sake of peace. Can you see that the Holy Spirit is slowly working in his heart? That Abram was being transformed? This time he was putting another before him for the sake of peace. And remember, and does this remind you of anyone in the New Testament that came for the sake of peace? Remember that our Lord Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, he said, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And here, what we see here is that Abram was starting to show a glimpse of transformation. He was living for the sake of peace. He was living as a son of God. And more than that, can you also see that Abram trusted in the Lord this time? And if you think about it, didn't the Lord promise Abram that the whole land would be his? Remember from chapter 12, the Lord said to him that the whole land would be his. But here, what's going on here is that Abram did not try to hoard what the Lord gave him, but he decided to give Lot the choice, even the possibility of giving away the better portion of the land. You see, by trusting and holding fast to the promise of God, Abram was able to promote peace. He was able to be generous with what the Lord had given to him. And here, it shows us that Abram now was living with an eye of faith. He was seeing the present world in light of God's promise, and all other material blessings, all other material things are secondary. Because for him, what was important was the covenant relationship in front of him with the Lord. But if you really think about it, Abram at this time did not yet legally own a single acre. He did not yet purchase the land. But look what he was doing here. He was already disposing the land as if he was already the owner of the land. And this really shows that Abram really believed. He believed that the Lord would give the land to him. It shows us that he actually believed in the Lord. It shows us his faith. He was so certain that God would carry out this promise that in his mind he was already the owner of the land. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, can we see an Abram that is so different? An Abram who is transformed already? After what happened in Egypt, we really are seeing a different Abram, one who began to look at everything with an eye of faith. And this is the first man that we're considering, the man who was walking with an eye of faith. So here we see that Abram trusted in the Lord and generously offered the land to Lot. But how did Lot respond? And that leads us to our second point. Upon hearing Abram's offer of the land, Moses tells us that Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Pay careful attention to the verbs that Moses was using here. Saw, took, and choose. Do these verbs ring the bell? Moses was telling something very important here. Remember what happened in Genesis chapter 3, after Eve saw the fruits and it was pleasing to the eyes. What did he do afterward? What did she do afterwards? She took it. And in Genesis chapter 6, the sons of God saw the daughters of man were beautiful, so they took them as wives. Do you notice what's going on here? Moses here was employing the same verbs. The same verbs were being used. It is as if Moses was telling us that something bad was going to happen. And surely enough, Lot here, Moses describes that Lot saw the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. So he chose for himself. So what is happening here? What is Moses trying to tell us? Well, Moses is telling us that just as Eve and the sons of God were seduced by the lust of the eyes, Lot also was seduced by the lust of the eyes. Just as Eve was seduced by the fruits and the sons of God were seduced by the beauty of the daughters of man, Lot here was also seduced by the beauty of the land. And notice what Lot did next. Moses tells us that he decided to separate from Abram. And this is remarkably, remarkably significant. It is because we have to realize essentially what he was separating himself from. Remember back in chapter 12, a few weeks ago, we looked at how we saw the promise made to Abram. And what was in the promise? In the promise, the entire land was promised to Abram and to his descendants. God promised him to make Abram a blessing so that others would also be blessed, especially those who associated with him would also receive the blessing. That was what the Lord promised Abram back in chapter 12, that Abram would become a medium of blessing. So what's going on here was that Lot was content to separate from Abram. He was separating himself from the medium of blessing. And we may be thinking, does he not care about the promise? Does Lot not care about the seed of the woman who was to come? And this clearly shows that Lot did not attach much weight to the promise. His concern was to receive the better portion of Canaan without regard to the promise and blessing given to Abram. You see here, what's going on here was that Lot was not acting according to his faith. Here he chose to follow the ways of the world and looked away from the promise and left the one through whom the world would be blessed. And we know that ultimately the promise is connected to Christ. It is because the one who would come through Abram's loins would bless the world was the Lord Jesus Christ. But remember how the prophet Isaiah describes the Lord Jesus. In Isaiah 53, verse 2, "For he shall grow up before him like a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." You know, the Lord Jesus was the one whom the world rejected because people with eyes of the flesh cannot see his beauty. But only those with eye of faith, with an eye of faith, may see the majesty of the King. So can you see what Lot is doing here ultimately? With an eye of the flesh, he missed the promise. He missed the ultimate promise that was coming through Abram's loins. He was missing. He was not able to see the Lord Jesus Christ, the blessed King, who would be the exceedingly great reward of Abram, the one who would ultimately bless the whole world. With an eye of the flesh, he could not see the one who was coming. And he was content to separate himself from that medium of blessing, Abram. And also notice what happened after Lot separated from Abram. Moses tells us in verse 12, Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent as far as Sodom. And notice the comment in verse 13. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord. Can you see what's going on here? Abram did not only leave Abram, but he moved his tents near the most wicked society of his age. Remember that the Apostle Peter told us that Lot was a righteous man. He was a righteous man. But what's going on here is the opposite. We do not see him living as a righteous man. We see him putting himself in a very dangerous situation, in a very dangerous position. And if we look ahead, we know that Lot here made a very devastating choice, and he would later suffer the permanent consequence of his choice. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, if we were to judge by the world standard, people would say that Lot was having the chance of his life. He was offered a chance to live in a place where it was beautiful and with nice pasture. And in the modern day, it is like living in New York or LA and living in those nicest places in the world. And this reality, the reality is that it speaks to many of us as well. The reality is that we can also be seduced by an opportunity, and we can also make a devastating choice. Maybe it is an offer of a career opportunity in a city where there is no gospel preaching church and a good Christian school. But then you can make millions and millions of dollars. And maybe it's a prestigious college in a city in which it does not also have a good church. But that school is so prestigious that you know with that piece of diploma or certificate, you can get a wonderful job and you can be set for the rest of your life. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, this is a reality that speaks to many of us as well. But remember these words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 16, verses 24 to 26. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good would it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Yes, you see here, in the eyes of man, Lot gained the whole world all right. But in the process, he was putting himself in danger of losing his soul. And this is really the consequence of walking by the eyes of the flesh. Because the eyes of the flesh blind us, and soon we will too find ourselves in danger of losing our souls. So let us keep our eyes open and be watchful of where we're going, and never walk with an eye of the flesh. So after we see Abram was walking by faith and holding fast to the promise of God, while Lot walked away, how did the Lord respond to Abram's faithfulness? And this leads us to our third point. The Lord said to Abram in verses 14 to 15, lift up your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land that you see, I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring as the dust of the earth, so that if one can count the dust of the earth, your offspring also can be counted. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, do you notice something similar that is found in this verse to earlier verses? Remember what happened in verse 10 when Lot was making his choice? He lifted up his eyes and he looked, then he chose. What is going on here? Moses is telling us that what is going on here is that the same verbs again was being used. But notice the difference this time. Last time, Lot looked with lustful and natural eyes, and he was the one who chose the land that pleased him. But what is going on this time? This time, Abram was passive. It was the Lord who told him to lift up his eyes to look at the land. Can you see the difference? Last time, Lot wanted a piece of the land without a promise. He looked with his eye of the flesh. But this time, the Lord told Abram to lift up his eyes and promise Abram to give it all to him. And more than that, the Lord also repeated the promise to Abram in order to affirm him of his great promise. And notice the terms were more expanded and more specific than chapter 12. Because last time in chapter 12, the Lord only said he would make him a great nation and would give him and his descendants the land. But this time, the Lord not only said that the north, the south, and the east, and the west would be given to him and his descendants, but the Lord also specified that this land will be theirs forever. And more than that, the Lord also compared his offspring to the dust of the earth. But do you know why the Lord repeated the promises to Abram? It is for the purpose for reassurance and encouragement. And if you think about it, it is exactly what Abram needed at this time. Because right now, with Lot separated from him, Abram had to carry the journey on his own from now. Lot was his last link to the past that he had before. But now, with Lot being gone from him, he had no other choice but to be wholly reliant to the Lord. And by going to this journey alone, and he had a long way to go, he needed encouragement and reassurance of the promise. And the Lord here graciously repeated and expanded the promise to Abram in order to reassure him and to strengthen his faith and to give him the encouragement. Can you see how good is the Lord to Abram? How good is the Lord to those who trust him and who fear him? This is really how good the Lord is to those who trust in him. He encourages them, and he reassures them, and he strengthens his faith, their faith. Then after the Lord made Abram to look at the land of promise in verse 17, the Lord told Abram to walk through the land. But why would the Lord ask Abram to do that? Why would the Lord ask Abram to walk through the land? It is actually very significant. It is because in the old days, the kings would walk in territories to demonstrate their ownership and authority over those areas. In other words, when the Lord told Abram to walk through the land, it was like telling Abram to walk through the land like the owner of it and claim the land. This shows Abram the extent of God's promise to him. It was an act of reassurance as well. Can you see how gracious the Lord was? Not only encouraging him, but to have him to walk through the land that he promised to him and claim and have his and mark his ownership on it. Because at this time, Abram did not yet own a single piece of the land. All he received was a promise. But the Lord told him to walk through the land and claim the land. What a gracious God. But then finally, what did Abram do in response to God's reassurance? What did Abram do? And once again, Moses tells us that he built an altar to the Lord in verse 18. He built an altar to the Lord and he called upon the name of the Lord. Remember what this means? It means worship. After hearing what the Lord said to him, Abram responded with worshiping the Lord again. Remember what happened after the Lord made to him the promises in chapter 12, verses 8 to 9. Abram responded with worship. And earlier in this chapter, after he returned from Egypt to Canaan, he worshiped the Lord. and now he was worshiping the Lord again. But why was he worshiping? Why was he worshiping the Lord? Well, he worshiped the Lord because he believed that God would carry out his promise. And the author of Hebrews actually confirms to us that Abram believed in the word of God. But not only that, the author of Hebrews also tells us that Abram looked in faith beyond the land to the thing it represented. Look at what the author of Hebrews describes in chapter Hebrews 11, verse 10. Abraham looked forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. In other words, Abram's eye of faith pointed him further than just the physical land that he was walking on. Physical land that he was walking on and that his descendants would inherit, but he was looking for an eternal city where he and his descendants would dwell forever. With an eye of faith, he looked beyond that piece of land and he looked forward to that anti-type of the land, which was the land, the heavenly Canaan. And brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, we know that we will be part of it too. We will be part of that heavenly Canaan as well. It is because the Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians 3 that those who are in Christ are the children of Abraham. And that includes the Gentiles, which is including you and me. It means that one day, all those who are in Christ who walk by faith will inherit the heavenly Canaan. So brothers and sisters in the Lord, what does it mean to us? It means that we are children of Abraham. It means that as children of Abraham, we're pilgrims in this world. We're too looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. We're pilgrims, meaning that we're just passing by in this land. This land does not belong to us. This place, we're just passing by on our way home. We're looking for the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. But as we are on the journey home, we're currently living in a world full of temptations and sins. And we know that Satan is constantly trying to seduce us. And this is a reminder that we may resist the devil by holding fast to Christ through his church and diligently dedicate and give ourselves to the worship of God. Because when we're gathering constantly with other believers with the same hope, not only is our faith strengthened, but we are more joyful to walk this journey of faith. That is why we should stick together. We should come to church every single Sunday and worship the Lord. It is because it is impossible to grow in our journey of faith, to grow in grace, if we are apart from one another, apart from the means of grace which the Lord has given to us as in our pilgrimage journey. So brothers and sisters, in closing, let me ask you, are you walking by sight? Are you captivated with this world and the things of this world? Like Lot, have you begun to make discussions being driven by the appearance of things? Or are you walking by faith? Are you trusting daily in God and in Christ? Are you living in light of his word? Like Abram, are you trusting in his promises, keeping his law, and living according to his truth? And brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, if we're truly walking by faith, we'll find ourselves like Abram, who is also found at the altar, giving glory and praise to the Lord. Remember these words of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 to 10. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, may God help us as we walk this journey of faith, holding fast to his promises. And when we do so, may we also dedicate ourselves to a life of constant worship. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we're grateful for these lessons from the life of Abram, for so often our own decisions are made in light of the worldly principles. We know how often it is that we're influenced by the invisible and the material. Lord, we ask that you may enable us to see things realistically. Enable us to see spiritual things, to fix our eyes on heavenly things, to realize that it is the things that are not seen that they are eternal things. Father, we pray that you may enable us in the faith of our great example, Abram, to walk with you. We thank you for all that you have done for us. Father, may you give us grace as we walk this journey of pilgrimage journey, and as we are on our way home, give us all that we need, and give us a spirit, and keep us away from sin. And we ask all these in Jesus' name. Amen.